you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
All right, we're back Thursday morning, Thursday night, wherever you are. Welcome to the show, Believe You Me podcast with myself, Michael Bisping, Luis J. Gomez. No Brian. Sorry, Brian's here. No Harrington. He's shirking his responsibility at his father, brother-in-law's wedding or something. But that doesn't matter because he's going to miss out because you, Luis, very shortly, you're jumping a plane and flying to Las Vegas.
I'm very excited. This is my last day here. I was obviously just out of town last week, back in town for 2 days, back on a plane again. The world is opening up, baby boy. I got shows in Vegas this weekend. If you guys are in the Las Vegas area, come out Friday, Saturday night, 9 p.m. Comedy Works at the Plaza. But if you're going to come out and you're a fan of this show, come out Saturday night because rumor has it one Mr. Michael Bisping is going to be in the crowd on Saturday night.
Yeah. But I'm not doing a personal appearance. Listen.
No, yes. Buy tickets to see Michael Bisping.
They're Las Vegas. They got lots of money. Get your checkbook out, okay? And if you try and charge me after advertising on my podcast that I'm going to be there, you better get me in for free, Luis, is what I'm saying. I'm commentating the fights on Saturday. You and Brian are flying in. So Friday, you got to come and test, though. It ends at 7 p.m. I suggest you get there around 5. Maybe we'll go grab a little dinner somewhere. Then you go off, do your show. Brian flies in Friday night, so he's got a test between 7 and 8 a.m. Saturday morning. And if he doesn't do that, he can't go to the fight, and you have to sit there by yourself in a very weird environment. Can't talk to me. I'm commentating.
So I'm just – is this not open to the crowds, right?
No, there'll be some select VIP personnel as things open back up.
So it's going to be all like celebrities, like me, Machine Gun Kelly – maybe,
Megan Fox.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, you don't know who you're going to be rubbing shoulders with, but you'll be doing it by yourself. You know, and if you sat next to Megan Fox, you might be rubbing something else as well. So, Brian.
I'm pretty sure we'll figure out a way to stay up.
Come on, guys, very sexist right off the bat here. In case you hadn't noticed, Luis, that's a very beautiful Devil's Avocado shirt you're wearing. This is the ultimate douchebag move, a shirt with your own face on. But I'm running out of larges to wear for the show. So there you go. Deal with it. If you would like one of these, quiet.
Sorry, Bisping.
I'm giving an official website.
Go ahead.
Please don't interrupt me. BYMmerch.com. Boom. There you go. Luis, as you were. All styles on there. All sizes. We're adding to the styles and the designs. Premium fabrics. Premium fit. It's the best t-shirts you'll ever wear. Luis, you were going to say something.
I would not even wear that shirt, the one that you're wearing. I will not wear a shirt with another man's face on it.
The
fact that you're wearing your shirt with your own face on it is ridiculous.
You are legitimately affecting sales right now. Edit that bit out.
Bisping with his face on his shirt, with his face behind him while you're looking at his face.
Which one you're looking at? 3D vision right now. You can see one for the audio. I have got one behind me. I have my real face that's talking and generating sound, and I have this one here.
If you didn't think that this guy was an egomaniac, look at this episode of today's show. Show this to anyone.
I only have so many large shirts, okay? Brian from Violent Gentleman, who's handling the merch for us, sent me a plethora of shirts, okay? But they need washing, okay? I know Harrington doesn't wash his shirts. I do. Okay, so there you go. Lots to talk about today, lots of notes, lots of big fight this weekend. We got Augusto Sakai taking on, my mind's gone blank. Who's he taking on in the main event? My mind has gone blank and I'm commentating the bloody card. Augusto Sakai and Jairzinho Rosenstruck. Yeah, sorry, pardon me, Rosen. We'll get into that later. We got lots of big news. We had Tyron Woodley breaking news the other day. He's fighting Jake Paul. Of course, this weekend, we got Logan Paul taking on Floyd Mayweather, which is just absolutely insane. But that's on a Sunday. So here's what's going to happen Saturday night. Here's what's going to happen. You guys are going to come to the Apex. You need to tell me when you're going to come because someone will meet you and guide you to your seat. It's not a regular event.
Megan Fox?
Deirdre. Deirdre's a lovely woman, okay? But she's not in the same realm as Megan Fox, I'm just going to say. Then the show finishes at 7. When does your show start? 9?
9 o'clock.
That will be a two-hour window. I'll be starving. I'm thinking dinner, a couple of drinks, to the thing, you entertain us, me and Brian have a few drinks. Now, am I driving home Saturday night, or is it going to turn into debauchery and we go home hungover Sunday morning, even though I don't drink and you're training for a fight? What do I tell my wife? Do I get home Saturday night or Sunday afternoon?
I fucked up and I drank in Austin. And I'll tell you right now, it's affecting me now. Like, I've been exhausted this whole week. I don't want to drink. But I will tell you.
You're going to.
If I can probably be pushed into it.
I know. I'm serious because I got to tell my wife. Does she lock the door? Does she stay up? Does she wait for the Believe You Me crew to arrive? Or are we going to show up probably 12 hours later with sore heads, very, very tired after being stuck in traffic coming out of Vegas on a Sunday morning? Which is it going to be?
If we're going to make this decision preemptively, this is a beautiful thing. This is actually a great moment where you can sort of learn how to be responsible. What we should do is we should make a decision right now to tell your wife that we will be home on Saturday night, that we are not drinking and doing anything crazy or debaucherous, and that we will have a very healthy week. This is not a vacation for me. This right now is a week of health, wellness, learning, becoming a better martial artist, learning from the best in the biz, Michael Business, Jason Perillo, Ruka Training Center. Oh. I can't fuck off. This can't be wasted.
Well, you said it perfectly. So here's what's going to happen. Me and Brian are going to enjoy ourselves. We're going to drink, and then you're going to drive us home. There you go. It's one road, straight shot, through the desert, middle of the night, no traffic whatsoever, and you get me and Brian home safe and sound, and we wake up Sunday morning in our beds. Thank you, Lewis. I appreciate that.
I've been around a drunk Michael Bisping, and I refuse to allow you into a car while I'm driving. That would be like bringing a gorilla from the zoo into your car and just allowing it to go wild.
Well, it's my car, so I'm not going to do anything that's going to damage it, unlike your car, which you have a similar car to me, okay? But yours is falling apart, and you were very sexist, by the way, in your rants on Twitter and Instagram. I didn't appreciate it.
Well, did we talk about this on the show?
We didn't, no. We didn't talk about it.
We've actually both had very, very rough weeks. I will say that mine has been rougher than yours, debatably.
No, it hasn't. Do you know what happened to me? I teased it on the last show, and even though we're being very silly and upbeat right now, it's been a sad few days in the Bisping household. Alfie, who was kind of, you know, his semi-regular spots on this show. Obviously, we did the Bitchula back in the day, and he would always bark, and I'd be shouting, Alfie, shut up. Oh, man, I had to put him down the other day. Very, very tough thing for me to do. Incredibly sad in our house the last few days. Just a spark gone. I mean, I guess we'll get over it eventually. But he had this condition called a fistula, which was eating away at his backside. Oh, there. What I'm telling you right now, is the most handsome German Shepherd you'll ever see. Anyway, his condition really, really deteriorated. He wasn't even 4 years old. By the end, he was 141 pounds. It's so heavy. He hadn't pooped in like 5 days. So he was taking on food, but he couldn't pass because if you lift up his tail and looked at his butthole, by the side of it, there was like a huge open wound and his fistula was kind of attacking his own body. So it was like open wound. And then when that was trying to heal, scar tissue develops around the ass. So then he can't shit. Then he's getting heavier and heavier. Then that's having an impact on his internal organs. And then by the end, he just wasn't even moving. He was almost non-responsive. So Monday night, I did up the garden, did the concrete and all that stuff. We said, oh, let's have a beautiful barbecue the day we finished. And then he wasn't even interested. He wasn't even coming over for food or nothing. And then Rebecca said, he hasn't passed in 5 days. So I'm like, okay, let's take him down the vets, the emergency vets, and get him an enema. You know, let's buy him some relief. Let's do what we can to help him. So we went down and then the discussion started and the vet was like, I mean, honestly, I think the poop is so backed up. It's going to be like rock hard at the back. It's not really going to make any impact. It's going to be extremely comfortable for him. And you're going to be back in the situation. We talked about the surgery again, which is another $7,000. They said he's going to have a traumatic time and he's going to be back in the exact same position like a month from now. And she was kind of hinting, you know, at putting him to sleep. So anyway, after a lot of deliberation and a lot of tears, a lot of crying yesterday as well, we decided to do it, and they came and got him.
And while the vet, you know, looked over him, because we had to wait for 6 hours in the middle of the night. It was bloody exhausting. And then she called back and said, what do you want to do? Do you want to put him to sleep? So we came to that decision. And they said, we can do it ourselves, or do you want to come in? And Rebecca was like, maybe we'll just let them do it. I'm like, fuck no. No way. And I was aggressively determined that we have to be there when it happens. Not from like some morbid standpoint, but I'm like, it's the last like good thing we can do for this guy. Cause obviously he's in an alien environment. He's going to be very upset. He's going to be scared and freaked out, not to mention uncomfortable. And I thought, when we walk in the room, it's going to bring some kind of joy and excitement to him, you know, and we can hold him and all the rest of it. Oh man, dogs are your best mate. They're your best mate. They're such great companions. I had to hold him, and I was and then he fell, you know, and I had to catch him, and he lies on the floor. That was just the sedation. And then they gave him the hard stuff. They gave him like an overdose of sedatives. And he went pretty quickly. So it was very peaceful.
So he went out the same way I'd want to go out.
Yeah. He got high and died of an overdose. Alfie died of an overdose.
And died in Michael Bisping's arms. Got high, died in Michael Bisping's arms. Every man's fantasy.
Not bad, right? He truly was a rock star. He got famous, right?
Yeah, he did.
He died in his early 20s in men years. You know, one dog year is 7 years, 7, 14, 21. In his mid-early 20s, he died to an overdose of drugs, being held in an athlete's arms.
Wow. What a life. What a life.
Live fast.
I will say, I got to commend you, because I don't know. I mean, I'd like to think that I would go in and want to spend that last moment with him, but I bet you not many people do. I bet you people say their goodbyes and they say, oh, you know, take the cat, take the dog, and then they don't watch it because it's probably really hard. And I bet it did bring him some sort of comfort, but I wonder how many people actually make that trip to actually watch it happen.
Yeah, no. We didn't think we could do it. I mean, I don't want to go on about it too much, but you're right. But that is, in my mind, as I say, it was the last good thing we could do for him. The only thing right now I can give him some comfort and hold him in his arms and comfort him in his dying moments, you know? And, oh, fucking hell, man, it was horrible. It was horrible. And yesterday was the worst day, because the first day we didn't get in until like 5 o'clock in the morning, and we just passed out and went to sleep. And when we woke up, it was kind of like we were still in that, we're still kind of in shock as what we had to do. But yesterday was the first day. It was like a normal day. You know what I mean? We get up and we expected him there and the walks. I was going to go for a run yesterday, but I couldn't do it because normally he's always there with me. I'm like, I can't do it. So I went on the Peloton. I'm on the Peloton. I was crying my eyes out on the Peloton like a tall little bitch. And I'm like, Ellie's walking by. I'm like, I'm not crying. I just got something in my eye. So if I start crying this episode, that's what's happening.
I don't, I know how much he meant to you, and that's why I'm making minimal jokes right now. You know, any other subject, we'd be just fucking making fun of each other. But I will say, it's debatable who had a worse week.
Well, tell me about your week. Listen, I lost my best friend. He died. I had to put him to sleep. Certain circles may call me a murderer, you know? I kind of like that. I murdered my best friend. He shit on my floor and I killed him. That's what you're dealing with when you come to my house, Lewis.
Of course.
Tell me about your week.
50-50 shot that Harrington is going to shit right on your kitchen floor as soon as he walks in.
Well, we've got a big discussion to know as well. Who gets the... Harrington and Brian are in bunk beds. Okay? One of them gets the top bunk. You know? And maybe they're going to fuck each other for it to figure it out.
Wait, what?
So tell me about your week.
So I'm flying back from Austin on, what day is it, Tuesday? And I'm about an hour from being home. Just overall, very tired, exhausting week. Like I said, we partied the whole week. Legion of Skanks took over Austin. It was a crazy week of shows. It felt like a comedy festival. Like everybody was in Austin for some reason. Lots of parties, lots of hanging out, but very exhausted. And when I'm traveling home, I'm always in a grumpy mood when I'm traveling on my way home, because it's just nothing ever moves fast enough. There's always delays. And all things considered, I'm not that bad. But he had a text message from my son's mother, she's looking for a home in New Jersey right now. She's moving out of the city into New Jersey, about 10, 15 minutes from me, and which is great. I'm really, really happy about this. Everyone's going to be in the suburbs now. But while I was out of town, she took my car, the new Audi, and she was looking for homes. She was like, you know, searching with real estate agents. So as I'm about to land, I get a text from her and it says, some guy just smashed your Audi. Look at this.
That's her, by the way, that's her take on it. That's her twist. That's her lie. She's lying to you. Of course you're going to blame somebody else. She's never going to come up to you and say, hey, by the way, I'm a shitty driver. I was texting. I lost control. No way. No one says that. You say, oh, God, you're not going to believe this, Lewis. I was following all instructions, paying attention, hadn't had a drop of alcohol, and I had an early night's sleep. I was really fucking dialed into the road, and some asshole just sideswiped me.
She's a woman, and she... I don't want to be sexist about this, but I got to be honest with you. Now, two different times I've had an issue with the Audi, two different women in my life. I've never been in an accident in my entire goddamn life. What she was doing, she was pulling out of a spot, and she did say it was his fault. And what we found out afterwards is whoever has the right of way, he had the right of way. He's driving up the street. She's pulling out of a spot. It's completely her fault. It's not even a debate whose fault it is. She pulled out of a spot, and he smashed into her. She said he was speeding, whatever it was. But yeah, the entire front side of the Audi just totally torn up. Now,
hold on. But me being a friend, here's what I said. Lewis was losing his shit. I said, hey, you got to remember, Lewis, it's just a piece of metal. It's just a piece of metal. And you're flying to Vegas. That's why you have insurance. You're going to go to Vegas. Then you're going to come to California. By the time you get back, it'll all be taken care of. You might have to pay $100, $150 excess. You know, it's not the end of the world.
My deductible is higher.
You know what I mean? You know, it there's no need to get bent out of shape over this. It's an inanimate object. See it for what it is, Lewis.
And I said those exact words to you about your dog, and you started crying.
That's a living, breathing fucking thing. And he wasn't made out of metal. Yes, okay. By the end, he stunk of sulfur and all kinds of stuff, but it was disgusting nonetheless. He
stunk of sulfur.
No. Listen. And then when I tried to console him, you doubled down on this sexist rant. You said, you do not let Rebecca drive your Audi. And I didn't want to say it because it seemed like I wasn't sympathetic. I'm like, yeah, she drives the Range Rover. The supercharged $100,000 Range Rover is what she drives. She's never crashed.
Never once?
Not in the Range Rover. Not in the Range Rover. So yeah. I'm sorry, I can't stand by and watch you mock 50% of the world's population, Lewis. Yeah. Not on my watch.
You know what it is? It's not even so much because obviously I have insurance. It'll be fixed. It's okay. It's just, number one, I'm only in town for a couple days. So now every time I look at it, it fucking annoys me. And it's just the inconvenience of having to put in the claim and bring it over to the place and get it all done. And then I'll tell you this, when I was looking at the Audi originally, there was another one that had been in a fender bender that I didn't buy specifically because it had the bumper didn't fit on it perfectly. I guess when it comes out of the factory, everything's lined up. It's all mechanically engineered, right? But when they put it back together, the bumper was a quarter centimeter off. You couldn't even see it unless somebody pointed it out to you, and I couldn't unsee it. And now I'm terrified that my bumper is not going to be on straight when they put it back together.
Well, it's not only that, Lewis, by the way. Your car has significantly dropped in value because now it has history of being in an accident and been repaired. So, you know, I'm not trying to add to your woes. You know what I mean? But
probably lost another $10,000 off the car.
Consider those woes, okay? Yeah. And you need to say to your wife, your ex-partner, whoa, next time she tries to get behind the wheel of the car. Anyway, by the time you get back, it'll all be taken care of.
All right, Mike, let's take a quick moment and thank Paleo Valley for supporting today's show. You know Paleo Valley at this point. They make the best beef jerky sticks on the planet, okay? You do not need to go to the gas station or 7-Eleven and buy all of that crap with all the nitrates and all the fillers and all that unnatural stuff. This is organic, grass-fed beef. It is absolutely delicious, which is probably the most important part of this. It's super healthy, but they're the best tasting beef sticks that I've ever had in my entire life.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, if you're eating something healthy, that's good, and you should be commended for that. But you don't want to do it and make a habit of doing that if it doesn't taste good. You know what I mean? You start a diet, you're like, oh, these low-fat thingy bobs, try one of them, and they taste crap, okay? And then you say, oh, no, I'm going to lose weight. You know, after a day or two, you say, now, screw this. That's not the deal with Paleo Valley beef sticks. They are 100% made from grass-fed beef, and they've got no nonsense in them, no hormones, no MSG, no mechanically separated chicken, or no... There's no chemicals. There's no nonsense, okay? They are delicious. They are totally organic. They are made from 100% grass-fed beef. They taste great. They're low-carb. They're a great snack on the go. They're a great snack for the kids. They're there. They're in the drawer. The kids are going crazy. I need a snack. You can't be bothered. Maybe you're hungover. Maybe you're a
shitty mom. But guess what? All you got to do is open a jug. Oh, here you are, you little shit. Take that. And they were like, oh my God, this is the best 100% grass-fed beefsteak I've ever had in my life. Where did you get these, mom? And she says, well, it's very easy, little Timmy. I went to paleovalley.com. And they went, wow, mom, you're really great. You're
mom, you must have paid full price for these.
She said, you must have paid a fortune on these. And you went, no, Timmy, I didn't actually, because I listened to the Believe You Me podcast. And that handsome gentleman in the English accent said, if you go to paleovalley.com and you use the code BELIEVE15, they're going to knock 15% off the first order, right? Timmy's like,
wow.
Timmy was blown away. Timmy was, he couldn't
now,
believe
we
what
we won't
he was
say
hearing.
What mom used that 15% for. She was not a good mom, remember?
She was a terrible mom. She's an alcoholic. She's a drug addict, but she's a good person.
She's using that 15% to buy more drugs.
Leave that part, edit that bit out, Brian. No, listen, as you know, we get stupid. These stuff are fantastic. They're a great health snack on the go. They are convenient health snacks when not on the go. They're great for kids, and they aid probiotics, aid in digestion and gut health. PaleoValley.com is the website. Believe 15 is the code, 15% off your first order. Okay, what should we talk about? I mean, we got big fights this weekend. We'll talk about that. But on Sunday, we have Logan Paul. And Harrison's not here, so he could chime in with tons of information about Logan, I'm sure, because he knows it all.
Oh, shit.
Right on cue. How long have you been lurking in the shadows?
About 2-3 minutes.
Okay. So we've got Logan Paul. Where are you right now in the world, by the way?
I am in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina for my brother's bachelor party.
And you get here on when? To Cali?
I get Sunday, I believe.
And you're going to miss all the shenanigans. You're going to miss the fights. We're all going to the Apex. That was hilarious. What did you say to him yesterday, Lewis, on the group text? You're like, oh, sucks to be you or something.
No, I said, hold on, I'll tell you what I said. I said, have fun at your brother's.
Oh, yeah. So we're all going to have a great time in Vegas. We're going to see Lewis do comedy. We're going to watch the fights. We're going to have a couple of nice dinners. You know, we're going to have a few drinks and have fun. And he's hung up. You're going to be at your brother's wedding, which I'm sure, or bachelor party. I'm sure you'll have a great time. So enjoy there. Logan Paul versus Floyd Mayweather. Now, if I'm not mistaken, Logan Paul is 0-1. He lost to KSI, I believe. Floyd Mayweather, as we know, 50-0, greatest boxer of all time. Floyd Money Mayweather, Floyd Pretty Boy Mayweather, whatever you want to call him. What is this fight? So what is the weight for this fight, Harrington? What is the weight?
Just a question, basically, before he gets into the details, I want to ask you, are we watching it Sunday night? Are we buying this pay-per-view on Sunday night?
Well, I know Callum knows these little websites you can go to and you get things for free. No, we will. We'll watch it. Come on. Of course, we'll watch it. We'll maybe get some bonus content for the website, for the podcast or the YouTube channel. But yeah, no, we'll watch it. Of course, we will.
Maybe we can do a watch along.
Oh, a watch. Yeah, we should do that.
We should.
Oh, yeah. We're going to set up the TV in the garden. We'll do what do they call it? A fight companion, if you will, on the Logan Paul versus Mayweather. All right. We're not going to get into it and break it down big time. I want to say this. And this is a hot take. It's controversial. Maybe it's a little bit haterish. And I'm not hating on anyone. Fair play to Logan. Do you know who I'm potentially hating on here? Floyd Mayweather.
Oh, you should be hitting on Floyd
Mayweather. If he goes out there, and it's probably not going to happen, but could you imagine Floyd Money Mayweather? He made over $1 billion. He made all this money. He was a legitimate boxer, taking on Canelo Alvarez, taking on all the best people out there and making them look terrible. Beats Conor for his 50th fight. There was a lot of disapproval on that because he wasn't a boxer, but still, Conor did a good job. And now he's taking on a guy that has lost one professional fight. I tell you what, it would be fucking karma if he went out there and knocked out Floyd Mayweather. Could you imagine? It's almost like you deserve it because he is watering down the sport of boxing all in the name of making money. Now, of course, there's nothing wrong with making money and chasing money, but he's got enough of it, right? And he can do whatever he wants with his own brand. Of course he can, right? He's only watering down his own brand and everyone's trying to get paid. Good for him. Good for everyone involved. But I will say I may let out a pretty hearty laugh. Not at the expense, not at the injury, but just at the karma involved if he was to get beaten or finished.
I wonder how much, like, would it be more enjoyable to watch him get beaten or more enjoyable to watch him beat Logan Paul? Because to be honest with you, Logan Paul, I don't know shit about these guys, but what I've seen peripherally, he doesn't seem to be as douchey as Jake Paul. He doesn't seem, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong about that, but he seems to be a little bit more humble. And he, you know, he I guess he put a picture of him like as a fan of Mayweather, and he was like, oh, this is a dream. He just has a little bit of humility. I understand why he would do it for Mayweather. I mean, look, if this is going to end up being millions and millions and millions of dollars, more power to him. But yeah, if you were the greatest of all time, it just would seem that it does sort of water down your legacy. Even whether you win or lose, going out sort of like this and these weird exhibition fights, it just doesn't lend to the narrative that you are the greatest of all time. And everyone agrees that Mayweather is debatably the greatest of all time, at the very least in the top, you know, four or five greatest of all time.
Yeah, I mean, that's not open for debate. He certainly is, and you can't take that away from him. But as I say, you know, he's I think when you get to a certain level in sports, you know, there's got to be a certain honor to it. And there's no honor involved in this spectacle. And it is a spectacle. And it's an exhibition bout. So maybe I shouldn't look at it through the same lens as what I would with, you know, a Canelo Alvarez fight or whatever. It's not the premier of boxing, but he is the premier guy in boxing, or was for a long time. And as you said, considered the GOAT. So, or a recent GOAT anyway, of his generation, shall we say. To see him getting knocked out or battered off Logan Paul, who's considerably bigger. He's a lot bigger. He's got the longer reach. He's got the heavier. He's the heavier weight, the frame. He's going to be hungrier. I imagine he's the only danger for Floyd here is if he's coasted. I thought, this guy's fucking got beat up a YouTuber. And I saw the video of Floyd this week hitting the pads. And it's, you know, it's weird when you see. And I saw Logan Paul hitting the bag as well, and he didn't look too crash hot. And Mayweather still looked slick, but there was no power there. It was literally,
yeah,
which is fast, and there's a lot of coordination there. But you fucking put the power in it, makes you tired. I didn't see any power in any of that shot, and of course, loosey goosey. That's how he wants to be. But could you imagine if Logan Paul just went what? Fuck off.
Just knocked his head off.
Laid him out. Oh, my God. That would be a better night at our house. I'm not saying for the demise of Floyd Mayweather, but if you're what? Because everyone's expecting him to outbox him, to run circles around him, to be so elusive, to make him hit fresh air and then counter. That's not going to be anything great to watch. But if we're watching and Logan Paul is piecing him up and battering him in the corner, we're going to be like, holy fucking shit.
I'll tell you right now, if Logan Paul beats Floyd Mayweather, I will personally be a Paul Brothers fan. I'll subscribe to their podcast. I'll buy their merch. I will fucking go and see those guys live. That is wild. That would be crazy.
And so here's the parameters of the fight. No judges, okay? No official winner read. Knockouts are illegal. The KO is up to the referee's discretion, so he can decide when and when it's going to be regarded as a knockout. No headgear, 12-ounce gloves over 8 3-minute rounds. So anyway, enjoy it, everybody. It'll be fun to watch. We'll watch it all together. We'll have a laugh.
I'm just keeping my foot in my mouth right now because I talked so much shit about what Ben Askren was going to do that I don't know shit. I really don't know anything. I got to be honest with you. And if Logan Paul can come out and do this, that would be absolutely wild. I don't think so. I mean, you look at Mayweather, even when you show the training videos, you just see how competent he is. He seems to be so in control of everything. And by the way, Logan doesn't look terrible. He looks decent. You know, he's definitely in shape. He's fucking ripped, dude. He's a jacked dude.
And so does Jake Paul. Again, we talked about Tyron Woodley taking on Jake Paul on Monday's show.
That's confirmed.
But it is confirmed. That is happening. Also confirmed, Tyron Woodley joining the Believe You Me podcast next Thursday, I do believe. Wow. So stay tuned for that. Also, we've got Chris Weidman next week as well. We're bringing in those guests, crash hot. But the Logan Paul and Jake Paul fight is taking place at 190 pounds. Which is 20 pounds over Tyron's optimal weight class. So again, these guys are doing a good job of taking on, well, not Logan, he's taking on Floyd Mayweather, but he's taking on a tiny guy. Floyd Mayweather's not a big guy. Conor McGregor is not a big guy. Trust me, on TV he looks it because there's no context, but he's not a big person, you know, but he's a hell of an athlete and a great fighter for his weight class, but he's not a big person. Point reason I'm saying that is because he was the big guy next to Floyd Mayweather. Floyd Mayweather is a tiny little guy. Do you know what I mean? Logan Paul is a decent-sized guy. I think he's like 6'1", 6'2", something like that. He's not a small man. But Jake is getting Tyron to come up and fight him at a higher weight class. I saw that Tyron said, though, easiest fight of his career for the biggest paycheck. And I said it on Monday. I'll say it again. Well done to Tyron. I'm happy for the man. He deserves it.
But he made you those words. I'm not saying that I think Jake Paul's going to win this fight. I'm just saying it is not the same thing. After watching what happened with Askren, I'm not counting Jake Paul out of a boxing match with a mixed martial artist right now. And not for nothing, like Tyron, did you watch Jake Paul's video breaking down like the announcement?
No, I didn't, no.
Because he was going on and on about, he was like, Tyron Woodley, once the most feared striker in MMA. It's like, whoa, slow your roll. Tyron Woodley was never one of the most feared strikers. He was great at knocking people out because he was an incredible athlete, an incredible wrestler, but typically he'd land a big overhand right and then ground and pound the guy to death. It wasn't like he had slick boxing or Muay Thai where he was winning fights based off of that. It was just really, it was power.
It wasn't Anderson Silva in his prime, who incidentally is taking on Cesar Chavez Jr. or something. Right. I'm not sure. He's got a boxing match coming up, and it's not like it was Israel Adesanya either, who's actually next weekend fighting Marvin Vettori. Tyron can bang though, and the one thing about Tyron is that his chin isn't what failed him. You know what right. I mean? Maybe it was a certain lack of fire. Maybe he got a little distracted by the celebrity status that he had, the rap career, all the rest of it. Who knows? We'll ask him about it next week. So that'll be interesting. Stay tuned for that. All right, moving on. Away from the Paul brothers, away from Alfie, away from slandering all female drivers on the planet. Shame on you for that, Lewis. Hold on. Old school throwback. BYMmerch.com. Buy your shirts. We need to do a shame bell shirt. Anyway.
We need to just do a shame bell. You could buy your own shame bell. You could ring it in your wife's face.
Going to sell shame bells. We're taking over the world of bells. Harrington, is Harrington there? He came on, he disappeared. I'll take that as a no. Oh, Harrington, Clarissa Shields. This is an interesting talking point, I believe. Clarissa Shields, obviously, she's one of the most dominant, if not the most dominant female boxer that we've seen. And she's making the transition over to mixed martial arts. She's training at Jackson Winkle John's Academy in Albuquerque. I've seen video of her hit kicking pads. Didn't look good. But she's a beginner. Yeah, no, it's Greg, John Jones, all of them. But Harrington, you put it in the notes. Go on, Lewis.
What's her name?
Holly Holm.
Yeah, Holly Holm also trained there, correct?
Yeah.
So they've already taken world championship boxer and turned them into a world championship mixed martial artist.
Yep, true. But Harrington, give us the specifics of the talking point that we're about to get into, unless Lewis wants to interrupt again.
I'm sorry, something relevant. I thought it was an interesting fact.
I was keying to Harrington. We could have got that in a second. I'm joking, by the way. Don't get offended.
Nobody wants Harrington teed.
No, you could throw that in afterwards and be like, well, if I'm not mistaken, this is the same. And you would have seemed like a genius. You would have seemed like a don. But you just threw that out there. You didn't ramp up to it.
I would have seemed like a genius if you would have went, oh, good point, Lewis.
Harrington, set the stage.
Tee it up. His mic's off.
Microphone is off.
That happened.
You there?
I'm livid. I'm not used to this setup. I'm sorry. So Clarissa Shields just made the point, she's making the crossover into MMA, and she says that MMA is what's going to make her a multi-millionaire because there just isn't the money for those purses in women's boxing. So despite the fact that she's arguably the best that sport has right now, she just can't make that money without stepping into the octagon.
Yeah, exactly. And it's an interesting point because she's right. And the sad reality is, Lewis, I'm not having a go at you. It's just relevant to the conversation that we're having. I'm not being a male chauvinistic pig and saying women can't drive. Right. But it's supply and demand generally in all sports. Remember the US soccer team. They were saying the same thing, saying we weren't paying the same as men. And obviously she's saying that boxers, male boxers make tremendous money when you reach the top of the food chain and the women don't. That's again, because there isn't this big thirst for female boxing. But if you look at mixed martial arts, it started with Strikeforce and the UFC came afterwards as well. They've done a tremendous job of implementing women into combat sports and the mixed martial arts. And now, some of the biggest, look at Ronda Rousey. She was one of the biggest stars the company ever saw. She's up there, top three, Conor, Brock, Ronda, whichever order you want to put them in. So the money is there. And also with the structure that they have in the UFC, I don't know if I'm getting this 100% accurate, but it's something like once you win the belt, I think it's $500,000, plus you get pay-per-view points. And you stay, look at Amanda Nunes. She's a huge draw. If you put her on any kind of card with a Conor McGregor or a Kamaru Usman, it's going to do big, big business. So while she is correct, it's not there in boxing. It's not because boxing are being male chauvinistic. It's not because they're being sexist. It's just because the demand isn't there. But in mixed martial arts, the way that it's progressed and it's evolved and the talent that the ladies have shown, there is those opportunities there.
I think across the board, and probably most female sports, the demand isn't there. And that's not a knock on female sports. I'm not being a male chauvinist. It's just a fact. You know, you look at WNBA, you look at female soccer, you look at boxing. There's just not as much of a general interest. And to be honest with you, it's male sports fans, right? So for the most part, I would say a vast majority of people that are buying tickets for these games and buying merchandise and spending money on sports are men. And I think men have a difficult time idolizing a woman or looking at a woman that way, the same way they look at a man. And I think with mixed martial arts, there's a couple X factors. Number one, it's the most dynamic sport in the world. You're taking, you know, there's so many ways you could win. And the women now look as good as a lot of the guys in a lot of cases. And then also you have these mixed cards as well, because you remember in the beginning, they weren't putting females headlining cards. It was always headlined by male fights, and then something flopped. A few people broke through, and it was just being, I think it was us being exposed to it and us going like, oh shit, no, some of these female fighters are more exciting than the male fighters. Maybe that's the answer for boxing. Maybe they should start mixing up cards, doing female and male events. I don't know, but there's probably a few different reasons for that, because the UFC and mixed martial arts is the only sport where it seems to be the case.
Yeah, well, you can't deny the fighting spirit that the ladies have. They're certainly on par with the men. You know, so you see some real good wars in the UFC, you know, or in mixed martial arts from the ladies. And I'm sure, to your point, you would see the same thing in boxing. And I think you're right. Mixing the events up, and, you know, I'm sure they do that already. I'm sure they're not just, they don't just stick to one gender for the events. Mm. But maybe that's what they need to do. They need to highlight some of the female talent on those big cards, give them a spotlight and give them a following. But the problem is for ladies, and again, you got to tiptoe around this, you know, but the reality is for consumers of sports, generally in most events, let's say basketball or soccer, they just don't have the athletic ability. You know, one of the most amazing things about watching basketball, certainly if you're there live, is watching these gigantic men jumping through the air, slamming balls. If they're playing soccer, it's just at a higher force. They can kick a ball much harder, further, stronger. They're just bigger, stronger, more athletic people. That's just the reality. When you put them against one another, though, in a cage, and there's no ball involved, that's all diminished. It's against one another, and you see very, very competitive fights. And when you're watching a fight, and if it's going to be fight of the night, that it's got to be competitive. And the ladies, they certainly bring, they are such a valued addition to the UFC. So for Clarissa Shields coming over, I get it. I understand. But I just think it's an interesting observation, because what we're seeing right now, you've got women coming to MMA because they want to make big money. Well, boxers like Clarissa Shields coming to MMA. But then you've got male fighters going to boxing because they want those big paydays. Because in boxing, you do have those stratospherical kind of paydays. You know what I mean? Apparently, Khabib turned down 100 million. Conor raised over 100 million. You know, I don't know what Tyron Woodley's going to get, but he's saying, you know, the biggest payday of his career. It's just interesting to see some of the retired fighters shifting to boxing, but you got very much in their prime ladies coming to mixed martial arts. Ladies and gentlemen, today's episode is brought to you by Sheath Underwear. Sheath Underwear makes the most incredibly comfortable underwear that is on the market, and especially useful in these upcoming summer months. Listen, we've all been there. You're there. You're somewhere. You're in line. It's hot. You're getting a little sweaty, but deep down, downstairs, you're even sweatier. You can't see it because you've got jeans on, but you're literally sweating your balls off, okay? Yeah. With the Sheath underwear, baby boy, you just tuck that in. It keeps them separated. Kind of like the mechanically separated chicken, you got mechanically separated balls and penis, okay? That's what we're talking about here. But they're comfortable. They're made from moisture-wicking technology. And when you go to the website, sheathunderwear.com, you're going to see tremendously stylish styles. And that you, when you look at them, you're like, I want to wear these underwear.
Yeah, they really are. You're never going to wear another pair of underwear again. We've all bought the 3-packs of crappy boxer briefs. They're terrible. These are extremely high quality. They feel great. They look great. There's no downside. I swear to God, I've showed it before on the show. I've showed my underwear drawer. Every pair of underwear in my drawer is Sheath underwear. I cannot wear another pair of underwear now. And not only that, the guy who started Sheath Underwear is a former U.S. Marine. He served time over in Iraq. I mean, the man's a hero, and then he used that technology that he needed in Iraq while being a hero and brought it to the masses. Wow, what a story. Wow.
is one goddamn hell of an American, okay? And he went out to Afghanistan. He had a traumatizing time, but when he came back, he's like, no, I need to make a product that's better for the people. That's how he developed the sheath underwear and the micro whatever, the dual pouch technology, okay? He separated the balls.
Maybe yours is micro dual pouch technology. I have normal dual pouch technology.
Yeah. I've got the minuscule, the tiny one. See what I mean? They got sizes for everybody. The comfort is what you want. The style is also what you want. The stylish designs also. And of course, you want good price. These things are hard wearing. I've had some of my, I shouldn't say this, but my sheath underwear, I've still got some of the first batch. They're still going strong. They're still shiny. They keep the shape. They're fantastic underwear, okay? What more do I have to tell you? Go to sheathunderwear.com and use that code BELIEVE20. You're going to get 20% off your first order. Get ready for the summer months. Get your dick and balls growing in perfect harmony. Put them in their own perfect apartments. Sheathunderwear.com, BELIEVE20, 20% off. Okay. Where were we? All right, there's lots to talk about. And obviously, we got Rosenstruik and Augusto Sakai happening. We'll get into that in a minute. But Harrington, it's a Thursday. Hammer Fist, there's some stuff going on. I'm hoping we can discuss something to do with UFC 263 next weekend. Izzy and Vittori, what do you have?
Well, I have a quote from Eugene Behrman. He came out, that's Israel Adesanya's head trainer. He came out this week and essentially said that Adesanya's doing Vittori a favor. He said there's two big paydays in this company. One is Conor McGregor and his red panty night. Now, Israel Adesanya has the pink panty night. So if you get booked with a fight with Israel Adesanya, you're getting a payday. He just said he's doing Vittori a favor.
Why?
He did Romero a favor.
Why are the panties going to be pink when it comes to Adesanya? Tell me.
The idea behind, I guess, the Conor thing was tell your lady that it's special. Yeah, night.
No. We know the red panty night. Why are Adesanya's panties specifically pink?
I don't know, because pink's better than red, I guess. I don't know, Mike. I'm not Eugene Behrman, but you know, the idea though is
pink,
just that
you are not hanging out with me in Vegas or this week, okay? Nothing wrong with pink. Solid color choice, by the way. Great fight next week. Great fight, made even better by the fact he's getting personal, as we know. It always sells a fight way better. Rematch, first one was split decision, even though it shouldn't have been. I think it was 2-1 for Adesanya, but whatever. Third round, Vittori took him down, controlled him a little bit. But now Adesanya's took the Darren Till baton. Remember Darren Till compared Vittori to the orc from Lord of the Rings. Now Adesanya's doing memes of him as, what's he called, from Goonies. What's he called? Hey, you guys.
Not Chunk. Chunk's the kid.
Sloth.
Sloth.
Sloth. So he's doing all that. It's going to be a good fight. I can't wait. I kind of get it. It kind of is a pink panty night, if that's the color they want to use. I do think Adesanya right now is probably the next biggest star after Conor, so I kind of get that. I'm looking forward to it.
You think so?
Hard. What do you think?
I mean, I guess, yeah, I get Nate Diaz.
He's also on the card.
Yeah, you know what? This is a pink panty night. I will tell you that much.
Masvidal's a big star. Who else? We've got Nate Diaz.
John Jones. Obviously. Ngannou's getting huge now.
Amanda Nunes.
Yeah. So, look, there's a lot of stars. Here's the thing, okay? The one thing I'll say about Adesanya, he's not doing Marvin Vittori a favor. Marvin Vittori lost a split decision to him, and he's the next guy in line for a title shot. There's no favor when you're the champion. You have to fight the next guy in line. Conor wasn't champion. Conor was actually giving people red panty nights because you were getting this massive payday to fight a guy who wasn't even the champion anymore. So I think that's sort of where that came from. So it's not an exact comparison.
No, it's not an exact comparison. And you're right. He's got to fight the number one contenders. And Vittori's proven to be that. I think he's going to come in and wrestle heavy. You mentioned Nate Diaz there. He's taking on Leon Edwards as well. So I'm excited for that one.
That's a tough fight for Nate, dude.
Oh, very tough fight. Very, very tough fight. And I always say, and I'll say it publicly, I think Leon's going to win, and he's going to win big. However, that doesn't mean that Nate Diaz can't surprise everybody. I said when Conor McGregor was going to fight Nate Diaz, it was the week after I fought Anderson Silva, right? And I was in London, and I was doing a ton of press for Anderson Silva, and I forget who the original opponent might have been, Dos Anjos, I think, whatever. Someone got injured, and Nate Diaz came in last minute, and they went, I know, so all the press was saying, oh, we've got breaking news, Michael. What do you think, Conor McGregor, Nate Diaz? I said, there's no way on this planet, there's no way in this world that Nate Diaz is going to win that fight. He's going to get his ass kicked. Conor's too explosive. He's too fast, all the rest of it. But we all saw what happened. So even though I'm sitting here and saying that Leon's going to smoke him and probably get a decisive victory,
you can never underestimate Nate Diaz, right? It's a 5-round fight. That's going to play into the favor of Diaz. You know, I think that's part of his reasoning here. I think he probably pushed for a 5-round fight. I think he pushed hard.
3 5-round fights in one night. We don't often see that, but that's going to be
Brandon Moreno and Figueiredo. Yeah. That was a sensational fight, the first one. I watched that again this morning. My God, that was a great fight. So the pay-per-view next week is unreal. Excited for that one. And you guys are flying out on the Friday. I said on the text, why don't you stay?
I know.
We'll have a pay-per-view party at my house. We'll do a fight companion.
I would love to. They can stay. I have to be back. I have a child missing.
Do not come here and leave Diego, Harrington, and Brian.
Yeah. I'm having people over my house on the Saturday night, actually, already. And, yeah, I have to be back for my child. I'm raising a child, Michael Bisping.
You're not raising a child, okay?
I'm half raising him.
You're just leaving me in the lurch. I want to talk about this. Harrington and Brian, so they're sleeping arranged. And we got Diego coming as well now. So we got Diego. Okay, so how are we going to do this? You're going to be downstairs. You can have the guest bedroom. Got your own bathroom. There's a way we can slice this.
It's okay. California. I'll sleep outside.
Worst case scenario, I can also get an Airbnb.
There's Lucas's room, which has a double bed and a single bed above it. So the bunk beds, but the bottom part is double. Okay. So either Harrington or Brian can share those bunk beds. And then we've got Callum's room. He's at San Francisco, and he's got a double bed in there. So Brian, I think Brian's going to be the first there. He should claim Callum's bedroom ASAP.
Yeah. Brian, well, no. We're all going to be coming together at that point.
No. No. Harrington and Diego aren't going to be there. They fly in afterwards. So if I'm Brian, I'm claiming Callum's bedroom. Callum listens to the podcast now. So Callum, Brian is going to be in your bed. I don't know what he's going to be doing. Okay, but he's going to be in your bed. Harrington and Diego sharing bunk beds.
I love it. This is a full week of wellness and bettering ourselves. Bisping, what's going to be the focus of your training next week?
What do you mean? I'm not training for anything.
You're training us and me.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll see. We'll figure it out. He's not taking it seriously at all.
I bet you we train once with Bisping. He's not even going to want to train.
I train every single day. I work out every single day, and it'll give me an excuse to go down to Ruka or the UFC gym a little bit more because I don't show my face there enough. So that's no problem. Don't worry about it.
Good.
But believe it or not, and I hate to say it, I'm not sitting around every night writing out training schedules. I haven't sitting there pontificating the finer points of mixed martial arts conditioning. I haven't brought in and found the best sparring partners that Southern California have to offer. I haven't sourced the best highest level jiu-jitsu professors to share their wisdom with you. I haven't. Okay.
Well, get to it.
No need. I got all the knowledge in here, buddy. Right there. Anyway, Harrington, Thursday, Hammer Fisters with a few topics, please.
All right. No real update here, but I did find it kind of interesting. Kevin Ioli had Dana White on his Instagram Live yesterday, and he followed up with him about the next opponent for Kamaru Usman. Kamaru Usman, if you remember, has been very adamant that he will not fight Colby Covington next. However, Dana says the next fight, Colby Covington, Kamaru Usman, no questions asked. Colby popped up, said Kamaru is the CEO of EPO, and the fact that he doesn't want to fight me is tarnishing his legacy. What do you think about that?
I think it's just Colby doing his thing. It's just him making headlines. You know, of course he's going to come out there, and that's what he does. Colby's he's a showman. He puts on this almost parody kind of personality, kind of a parody of himself. You know, is he the next in line? I don't know if he's the next in line, but do I want to see the fight again? Yeah, I do. I think Colby looked great against Tyron. He had a good go against Kamaru as well. It was a competitive fight until he got knocked out in the fifth round. But Colby Covington does not care. Did you see what he was saying about Dustin Poirier this week as well? He was talking a lot of shit about Dustin Poirier, saying, you know, people going about Dustin the Diamond, what a great guy he is. But let me tell you, Dustin Poirier is a piece of shit. And he showed Mike Bowen from MMA Fighting on whichever website. He was showing him a video. This is an amateur that came to the gym to spar, and then Dustin Poirier knocks him out, and then screaming, and new. And Colby's saying, this guy's a piece of shit. Who does that? Who knocks out an amateur guy like that? He comes into the gym, he's looking up to you, and Dustin knocks him out and screams, and new. That's who you're dealing with. By the way, Colby's words, not mine. I love me some Dustin Poirier.
Is
there
the story,
you go.
Is the story true, though? Is that what happened?
I don't know if it's true. I don't know. I couldn't
see.
Let's
say all things considered, it's true. How do you feel about that? Because look, I'm an amateur. I go to the gym. I'll tell you right now, there are guys who
you're
go
going
hard.
To get knocked out next week, and I'm going to scream anew. It's going. You're gonna get a reenactment. Thing,
we're definitely parodying the video.
Oh, we gotta do that.
We're doing it. But what do you
I'll
think about
the
that?
One that gets knocked out?
That's funny. That's hilarious. By Chito Vera.
No, by you. That's the point. You send it to Jason Ellis, you know what I mean? You do a bit of shit talk. Yeah.
So how do you feel about that? Do you think that if an amateur came in, you know, forget you, you probably wouldn't be sparring with an amateur if I had to guess. But what do you think about a professional fighter knocking out an amateur and sparring? Do you think he should have held back, or do you think he had to learn a lesson?
Well, I'm not saying that even happened. You never know.
But if it did.
Yeah, you take everything that Colby Covington says with a grain of salt. But still, for the point of conversation, not really the done thing. You know what I mean? I know. It's like, because when you're sparring for a fight, they do what's called Shark Tank. I never use that expression, but they call it Shark Tank. You get a guy in. And every round, in fact, back at the Wolf's Lair in England, we used to do it. We used to change every minute, which was fucking stupid. Every minute they would change opponents. But the reason they would do that was because, I mean, you're fighting at a furious, intense pace. It was too much, though, because you never really got into a groove or to a rhythm with somebody where you could start capitalizing or getting a read on their movements. Before you know it, change, and another guy would come in. The reason I'm bringing this up is because the guy that's staying in the middle all the time with a different opponent every goddamn minute, after a bit, they're fucking exhausted, right? Now, granted, they're not amateurs, but when the guy's exhausted, and you've been there and you've watched
and you're
fresh. You jump in for 1 minute every 5 minutes, okay? And you're teeing off on that guy, you're a fucking dickhead. And it used to happen a lot. And people do that. You see, like, a guy comes in. You see, sometimes when I'm training for fights, you know, you got a guy, he's waiting. Perillo says, we're going to use you for round five. And I'm like, and he comes in. He's like, come on, baby boy, let's go. Bam, 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 bam. I'm like, I'm going to see you in the car park, and I'm going to kick your fucking ass, because it's not the done thing. Now, as it relates to what we're talking about, same thing. If there's someone comes in and they're a beginner and they're learning, as long as they're not being an asshole, as long as they're not swinging with stupid punches and taking liberties themselves, then you nurture them. You coach them along. You know what I mean? You take the sting out of your punches. You know, it's like, get your hands up. Come on. Oh, that's it. Good shot. Listen, when you talk to them as you're fighting them. You know, right. you bring them along. You coach them. You know, and who knows? Maybe Dustin was just having a bad day. Maybe that guy looked at Dustin funny. Maybe he was just not a nice guy. Yeah. You know?
Or maybe the other guy was a dick. Maybe the other guy was taking some shots and it was like, okay, dude, if you want to fucking take shots, I'll show you what a shot is. And at that point, I don't really have a problem with it. Like, even if the guy wasn't as skilled, if he wanted to take a shot, he wanted to make his name in a gym by taking a cheap shot on a UFC fighter, then maybe he deserved it. Dustin, for all intents and purposes, has always seemed like a really sweetheart of a guy.
Really nice guy.
Very charitable. So I do take the story with a grain of salt. But yeah, look, I don't know. Who else would be in line for a title shot against Usman over Covington? Covington, the win over Tyron, with all due respect to Tyron Woodley, doesn't have as much sting after Tyron's been released from the UFC and went on a 4 or 5 fight losing streak.
Here's a hot take, right? And this is me purely speculating. This is not with inside information, but it is my paranoia or thoughts or whatever you want to call it. And I'm sure the UFC would laugh when they hear this, but I think there's been some wheeling and dealing going on the side of Nate Diaz, right? Of course, Covington is going to fight Kamaru next. Dana said that, and all parties are on board with it, apparently. But I think Nate Diaz, unless he's just crazy and ballsy, right? Because today, taking on Leon Edwards is a tough fight. And Nate Diaz isn't a true 170-pounder. He tried it a while ago. He got beaten. You know, he lost some tough fights from guys that were bigger. There's weight classes for a reason. And then he fought back at 170, but it was guys like Anthony Pettis. It was guys like Conor McGregor. These people are all blown up lightweights. He fought Masvidal, who also fought at lightweight for a big part of his career, so not the biggest welterweight. So for him to go up and take on a guy like Leon Edwards, right, who's a huge welterweight, he's a big guy, and he's on an 8 or 9 fight win streak, and he's highly skilled and all the rest of it, and he's on a roll, that's a dangerous fight for Nate Diaz. So here's it's genius matchmaking, because if Nate Diaz goes in there and beats Leon Edwards, and I don't know this, but I maybe suspect there's been some talk alluding to this. If you beat Leon Edwards, you fight for the welterweight title next. So there's a risk reward for Nate Diaz. Remember, he hasn't fought for what, coming up 2 years against Masvidal. That was his last fight. He hasn't been particularly active. Ring rust, time away. So he's going to come back against Leon. Well, why is he going to do that? Unless there's a dangle of a world title fight if he wins. And if he does beat Leon, he certainly deserves to fight for the belt, because he just beat who by rights is the number one contender in waiting. And on the flip side, if you're Leon Edwards and you beat Nate Diaz, well, now you get your title shot, because the only thing hurting Leon was that he wasn't very well known. But now when you beat Nate Diaz, you're an instant star.
You fight. We'll call that green panty night for the Diaz brothers.
Why green? Okay.
Green panty night. If you fight the Diaz brothers, yes, you're
and
right
Leon's
about that.
From Jamaica. Right. Oh, no. There we go. We have That's to get actually- it in.
Not for nothing, I think it's a genius observation, Bisping. No inside information there. This is you just ballparking, which I like that. And I agree with you. They don't have the Kamaru Usman versus Colby Covington fight booked right now. So why also aren't they just saying if Leon Edwards beats Nate Diaz, he's next in line for the title shot? Are they sort of playing Colby Covington? Because they're saying it. But when we're talking about all this, it doesn't seem like Colby Covington, number one, deserves a title shot just yet. Number two, it doesn't seem like it's actually really on the table.
And if you're Kamaru Usman, you want that fight with Nate Diaz all day.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? He'd take Conor McGregor. He'd take any one of those big stars. And of course you do, right? Listen, when you're the champion, you want to take on all comers. But it's also your time. It is your phase in history, or your time in your life, where you get to accumulate vast wealth. You know what I mean? And it doesn't last forever. You know, okay, there is some people like a George St. Pierre that have gone on for years. There's Floyd Mayweather, whatever. But generally, and by the way, Kamaru Usman does seem like he'll dominate for a long time. But we're yet to find that out. But this is his opportunity to make huge money. So why not fight a guy like Nate Diaz if he beats Leon Edwards? Why not take him on and get all that pay-per-view money and get a relatively easy win? I say that with respect to Nate Diaz. Of course, Diaz can surprise everybody.
That's a tough fight for Nate Diaz. Yeah, Kamaru Usman. I mean, Jesus Christ. I don't even know. I don't think there's any. And no, and I love Nate. Nate Diaz is one of my favorite fighters in the world. But I don't see any path to victory for Nate Diaz over Kamaru Usman. It is, just too big, too good at boxing, too good at everything, to be honest.
Yep.
Too athletic, too powerful. But yeah, I think it is all very interesting. I'm excited to see Nate come back. As we're talking about it, I'm really getting excited, because no matter what, win, lose, or draw, Nate Diaz always brings a fucking really, really exciting fight. So that's going to be dope.
Okay, let's just take a quick second to tell you about Hemp Fusion. HempFusion.com offers the highest quality CBD that is truly organic on the market. I'm telling you, they got a product for everybody, whether you're stressed out, whether you need more energy, or if you can't get a good night's sleep. That is where the sleep support comes in from Hemp Fusion, which blends 10 milligrams of CBD, terpenes, omegas, GABA, black pepper, and clove oil. They release the entourage effect, working together to deliver a powerful night's sleep. You're going to wake up in the morning, you're going to be refreshed, you're going to feel great. You're not going to be all groggy like you are of ZQL or some other kind of sleep medication. You're going to feel great, and then you're going to have a good day, Lewis.
I know. Well, that's my problem. Last week when I was out of town, I forgot my Hemp Fusion at home, and I took sleeping pills like a moron. The whole next day, groggy, feeling sleepy, couldn't get out of bed in the morning. It took me an extra hour to get out of bed. That is not the case with Hemp Fusion. Their sleep support is incredible. It's very, very smooth. It's all natural. I'll tell you right now, everyone knows the benefits of CBD. We've been talking about it for a long time. Hemp Fusion makes the best on the market.
And also, Lewis, you should really try out the Pain Relief Balm by Hemp Fusion as well. It's fantastic. There's a bunch of stuff in there. I don't have the label in front of me right now, but obviously it's got CBD in there with a bunch of other effects. And it's just so good. I rub it all over my joints. Obviously, my neck is giving me grief. I have some with me at all times. I'll be driving to Vegas shortly. My neck starts to hurt. I just take some of that stuff. I rub it on. Instant relief. And it lasts for a long, long time. So go to hempfusion.com. Obviously, CBD in gummies, tinctures, creams, you name it, they have it. Pill form, whichever you want, but they've also got a lot of wellness and lifestyle products as well. So hempfusion.com is the website you want to go to, and the code is COUNT. We're going to give you 25% off and free shipping of your high-quality CBD products. So there you go, hempfusion.com, code is COUNT, 25% off, free shipping, no pain, better night's sleep, no stress. Let's go. Where were we? Harrington. Give us one more, then we'll get into some of these fights this weekend.
Okay, I thought this was kind of interesting. UFC fighter Steven Peterson says he refuses to fight in Texas despite training out of Dallas. The quote is, "The Texas commission is fucked, man. I'll gladly attend and hopefully corner some of our guys, but I will not be fighting in Texas anytime soon. I'm boycotting the Texas commission. I have 9 losses in my career, 5 of which I would highly contest, sit with you, watch the tape, and argue with you how I won those fights. Those decisions were all lost in Texas." Michael, how would a fighter go about boycotting a specific commission?
Well, you could just come outright and tell the UFC, "I refuse to fight there." You know, that seems like the obvious one, and you never know, depending on who you are. I think if you first get to the UFC and Steven Peterson, did you say he is? Harrington? Lost his connection. Yeah. Anyway, if you're new to the UFC, you don't get to make any demands. But as you rise up the pecking, the totem pole, if you will, you get a bit more say in these type of things. However, I think he's probably a bit mistaken. Maybe Harrington, if you can hear me, can do a bit of research on this while I talk. But for the most part, you see a lot of the same judges. You know what I mean? Just because you're in Texas doesn't mean that problem's only in Texas. You see bad judging all over the place.
Was he saying it was just judging, or was he saying it was also reffing as well? Did he make that?
Well, again, with the referees, doesn't matter where you are in the world, you're going to see Herb Dean, you're going to see Mark Goddard, you're going to see No Nonsense Keith Peterson and all these same people. Do you know what I mean? So the UFC is a traveling roadshow, you know, to when it's normal times, of course. And there is some different officials that would be for certain areas and certain commissions. But generally, you see a lot of the similar names. So Harrington, I don't know, while Lewis says his point, just look that up. What judges are we talking about? But for the most part, you see a lot of the similar names.
I hear this and I'm like, I think that this guy has, and no disrespect to him, but I think there's a mental thing there where he needs to get over that, because that's not true. It's just not true. There's no conspiracy against him. The Texas judges aren't any worse than any other judges. There's one winner and one loser, and it's the same judges for you that your opponent gets. So if it's incompetent judging, it's sort of incompetent judging across the board. It's an even playing field, right? Knock the guy out. Win. Don't leave it into the hands of the judges. And that's maybe he's right. Maybe there is something there to what he's saying. And where there's smoke, there's fire. There probably is something to what he's saying, but that's probably going to be a block in his head more than anything else, because he should be able to fight in fucking Texas, Tokyo, or Taiwan and be able to beat whoever's put in front of him if he's a UFC fighter.
Yeah, 100%. I totally agree. Now, of course, the expression, "don't let it go to the judges," it's kind of a cop-out, because I don't think anyone does allow it to go to the judges. Right. Maybe some people on rare occasions do have the game plan of outpointing their opponents because they're big, big, heavy hitters and they tend to get tired or whatever. But generally, most people, they want to finish the fight. They want to go for the bonus. They want an early night. You don't get paid for overtime. And, okay, I sympathize with the guy. If there's been, I haven't seen the fight, so I can't comment too much on that, but if there's been a couple of fights where he felt like he lost but he was screwed on the judges, you know, happens to everybody. I've been screwed by the judges on a few times. Wanderlei Silva and Chael Sonnen fights are the ones that immediately spring to mind. People could argue Rashad Evans. We could go on all day, but we won't. The reality is, you just got to say, well, fuck it. It was a close fight. And that's the way they saw it. You certainly don't cut your nose off to spite your face. And of course, Texas is his home state, and he would be cutting his nose off to spite his face.
Yeah. He's got, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy as well. If you think you're going to get screwed by the judges in Texas, you might get screwed by the judges in Texas. If you think
the
you're going to knock
that guy out. The law of attraction, baby.
Yeah, it's very true. I really believe that.
Me too.
Yeah, he's, I there's not really much else to say about it, but, you know, good luck to him. Hopefully he gets over that mental block, because that seems like all it is.
Yeah, it is. Before we get on to the next one, I just want to tell everybody about Timmy Fit. We are starting a BYM, believe you me, Timmy Fit competition. Now, you're all thinking, what is this? It's not an ad read. Let me tell you, the Believe You Me Timmy Fit competition, if you've got a smartphone, I'm assuming people have, and you get yourself a smart device, or you have one, Apple Watch, Fitbit, there's a bunch of others, Samsung one, whatever it is.
You don't even need that. So just so you know, the Timmy Fit app works within your health tracker on your phone as well.
It does. I did a run last night and it still picked up the steps in the distance. So what we're doing, we're launching a competition, the Believe You Me, and it kicks off, the Believe You Me Timmy Fit competition kicks off June 15th. So of course you've got to download the app, T-I-M-I Fit. And we're offering cash prizes, okay? By the way, Sanimal gloves came through. For all those people that sent in videos, they got their gloves. Brantendo was one of them. We messaged a few people. So if you send your videos and tag us on Twitter, we'll give you a bit of feedback. So just so everybody knows, we came through. Took us a while. That's my fault. I hold my hand up there. But what we're offering here for the first place, so you're going to see us on the leaderboard. Lewis will be on there, Brian, Harrington, myself, and of course, whoever else joins from this podcast. So you'll be able to follow the leaderboard and see how we're doing it. And we're going to base it on steps and distance. So you'll be distant steps and running. So basically, the more you move, the more you run or walk, whatever, you're going to accumulate more steps and more distance and going to have a higher chance of winning the competition. Now, yeah, little cheat mode for you. If you work as one of these people in a city center and you're trying to get people to sign up, you're going to get fucking steps all day. Right. Do you know what I mean? I'm telling you, if you work in an environment where you walk a lot and you don't have Timmy fit, you're crazy. Now, first position, if you come in first, you're going to get $250 and you're going to get a signed pair of gloves and a signed Michael Bisping Quitters Never Win book. Second prize is $125 and maybe some Believe You Me merchandise. And third prize is $75. And again, we'll throw in some merchandise for you there.
Yeah, it really is cool. Beyond that, the app is just awesome because the way it works, they're going to pay you in crypto the more you work out. Right now, they're launching these competitions. The reason we're even doing this is because when you told me about it, I thought it was absolutely awesome. This is not an ad. They're not paying us to do this. This is something that we think is just really cool. It's just free prize money that we're giving out to you guys. And if you download the app, you guys can get paid in crypto for working out and burning calories as it is. Really, really cool company. I really love it. We've been talking about Timmy for a while, and this is their newest iteration of the company, and it is really, really great. So right now, the only thing you got to do, because the competition isn't going yet, is just go download the Timmy Fit app, and we're going to be giving out more information.
You can join the competition now. The competition's on the app, so sign up to the competition, and we'll have a lot of fun. We can interact with one another. Hopefully, we see Harrington coming in dead last, and we can bust his balls. Who knows? Lewis is Mr. Big Time Workout Artist these days, so maybe we see him at number one. If you're not number one, Lewis, with this big fight coming up, shame on you. But I do want to say, if you need motivation to get working out, come on, here you go. You're going to get paid, etc. T-I-M-I, Timmy Fit. Let's go. Okay, this weekend, Augusto Sakai taking on Jairzinho Rozenstruik. Two big guys, two big boys, two heavy hitters. Last time we saw Rozenstruik was against Cyril Garn, which wasn't a great fight. You know, it wasn't a great fight. And that's just the way it happens sometimes. Unfortunately, when you're in there with other guys that have the ability to knock you out, you know, it can be like that sometimes. The risks are real. You know, the punching power of heavyweights, good heavyweights like Garn and Rozenstruik, there's big consequences. You know, and what we saw was Cyril Garn go in and out and kind of pick him apart from the outside. But Garn wasn't the best fight from him. And Rozenstruik, I spoke to him yesterday, and I asked him about it, chose my words carefully. He's a big boy. They call him Biggie Boy. Biggie Boy by name, Biggie Boy by nature. But I thought, I've got to ask him about it. And he said, yeah, you know. He said, I just couldn't get going. He said, I felt slow. I felt out of time. I couldn't read him. Sometimes it's like that. You just have an off night at the office. So I'm sure he's going to come into this one with a point to prove.
Yeah, I mean, look, they're two huge knockout artist heavyweights. It reminded me of the Ngannou versus Derek Lewis first fight that they had. Just the expectation was going to be like, holy shit, don't blink, we're going to see fireworks. It ends up being somewhat of an uneventful decision. But yeah, I mean, look, we also saw after Derek Lewis and Ngannou had that performance, we saw both of them come back with something to prove. And Augusto Sakai is coming off a loss as well. So both of these guys right now, a little bit of a back against the wall situation. Probably going to see fireworks Saturday night, if I had a guess.
And I'm telling you, Augusto Sakai, you know, it's a tough one for Rozenstruik because obviously he's coming off a loss and it was inactive and he wants to be aggressive and make up for that. And as a fighter, you got to be careful with that because you want to go out there and make a statement and you want to prove your critics wrong. You want to put your best foot forward for the organization. You want to be aggressive and show everyone, hey, I've still got it. But it's hard because you might go out there. When you get too aggressive, it goes against you. It's counterproductive and you walk onto shots. And Augusto Sakai is a very, very athletic heavyweight. If you see the hand speed on this man, he's got excellent Muay Thai. He's got great knees in the clinch, and the hand speed and the combinations he puts together are awesome. So this is a great main event. I'll be calling the fight with Dominic Cruz and Brendan Fitzgerald. So check that out. Co-main event, we got a good one. It's Walt Harris. I fucking love Walt Harris. Yeah. Taking on Marcin Tybura, of course. you can't mention the narrative. You can't say Waterhouse without, you know, unfortunately, what happened to his daughter, Anaya. She was, as we know, she was murdered. You know, there's not a better word to put for it. And we spoke to Walt Harris the other day. Obviously, he lost to Alistair Overeem. Remember that Overeem fight? He went out there and almost knocked Overeem out real early. And then he kind of gassed a little bit, or the experience of Overeem took over, whichever way you want to slice it, and he lost that fight. And of course, you know, we got to be impartial as UFC commentators and UFC employees and staff. I was only doing the desk that night. But still, there's a part of you as a human being. It's almost impossible not to root for the man that's just had to sadly bury his daughter.
Of course.
You know what I mean? And when he didn't get the job done, I was like, okay, well played, Alistair, for doing that. But I was like, the poor fucking guy, because you just want him to win. And then he came back and he fought Alexander Volkov. And he lost that fight as well. And again, one more time, he doesn't want anyone's pity or sympathy. He wants to win, and he's a competitor. But we spoke to him about that as well on Thursday, and he was very honest. And he said, listen, I came back too early. I came back far too early. I didn't take time to grieve. I didn't speak to any professionals. I didn't get any counseling. And I just buried myself in mixed martial arts to try and deal with it. And he said he wasn't really ready to do that. He said now he's spoken to people. He's dealt with, you know, he's spoken to counselors, grief management type people. And now he feels a lot in a much better space. And he's coming back against Marcin Tybura, who again, you know, unfortunately, heavyweight division of the UFC, Tybura's... Tybura's not walking the park. So again, tremendous co-main event, but I can't root for anybody. You know what I mean? But you just want a good fight, and you want a good outcome for both people involved.
You can say, look, as a fighter, I think you can say, even if Walt Harris hadn't lost his daughter, you can say, hey, dude, he's coming off two losses. He needs this win. I kind of want to see him get a win. He's a good guy. I don't think that's wrong to say. No.
But you can't go against Marcin either. Marcin's a great guy. He's a nice
person.
He's
got four in a row.
Yeah, four in a row, he's on a roll.
Yeah.
Walt Harris is a fucking good dude, just his energy. He's a cool guy, he's so nice. He's a monster of a man.
Right.
Hits incredibly hard, hell of an athlete. Just a little bit, he was a little bit green, but he's learning, he's getting better, but just a nice guy. He showed up at the fighter meetings yesterday or Wednesday, shirt off and straight away, yo, what's up, champ? Just tremendous energy, just such a likable guy. Marcin Tybura, he's a good dude as well. So that's an excellent co-main event. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. I'm excited to be there. I haven't been to a UFC event in years. This is crazy.
And you go into the Apex with no crowd. You know, this is kind of historic because I think, I don't want to speak out of turn, for the most part, the fight nights are going to be at the Apex for the rest of the year. Mm. And by then, everything's going to be back on the road. So you could say you went to the Apex, no crowd or a very limited crowd, you and Brian, no Harrington, of course. But you can take that to your grave. Harrington can't do that.
I'm very excited about it. Now I'm just terrified that I'm going to test positive for COVID as soon as I get in, and it's going to ruin my whole fucking trip.
You won't be able to do your comedy shows. You're not staying at my fucking house. No way. You're on your own, baby.
Walking through the desert sick.
We'll see you there. By the time you get to our house, the COVID's worn off. Harrington, have you got anything else for us, or do we have any questions?
Let me do plugs. Well, I'm sorry. Let Brent have some questions. Let me do plugs real quick, and then we'll get out on a couple questions. I know you were about to apologize for having to leave.
Yeah, that's what I've got to be in Vegas. I'm interviewing Adesanya and Marvin Vettori for the pay-per-view. We're going to do a little feature at the weekend. So I've got to go in a day early. I've got to get on the road pretty soon. COVID testing stops at 5. I'm in California. I've got to eat. I've got to pack. I've got to put gas in the car. And I've got to get there by about 4:45. So the time is ticking away. Plug it up, baby.
Real quick, go to our iTunes, leave us a 5-star rating, positive review, subscribe on our iTunes, Google Play, everywhere else you can subscribe to podcasts, subscribe on our YouTube channel, hit the notification button as well, leave us some comments down there. We love those positive comments. And if you guys want access to the entire On Demand library, remember you can get every episode we've ever done, all ad-free and uncensored, all at gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use that promo code BYM for a 7-day trial. Lewis of Skanks.com for live dates coming up. And obviously, Michael Bisping, Tales from the Octagon, this October in the UK. So go grab tickets for that as well. And if you want to join the conversation, send your questions to bympod@gmail.com. And please do not forget to go purchase some amazing merch at bymmerch.com.
Oh, and next week when you're here, because Lunchbox, who runs the website for us, he said, we need pictures of you guys wearing them. So we're going to get pictures of you, Lewis, and make sure you're looking good. Get those cheekbones popping, because we're going to have a little photo shoot. So on the website, we're going to have pictures of us modeling them. But yeah, like bymmerch.com. Check it out. Thank you very much. Brian, What do we have in the way of questions, my friend?
Well, Dallas Singer sent in a question. He's also wearing Satterbull gloves that we sent him.
Oh, well.
What's up, guys? Dallas from Staten Island. Got a quick question for Mike and Lewis. Who do you pick as your official prediction to win the Battle of the Producers? Is it going to be Mike Harrington or is it going to be Brian? Which one's going to win? I know Harrington's been training. Harrington's super cocky. But fuck Harrington. I'm picking Brian. I don't know why. I'm just picking Brian to win. And if you guys need another sparring partner, you know I'm ready with these brand new Sanibel gloves. Thanks to the best MMA comedy podcast in the world. Believe you me. Really appreciate the gloves, guys. It came through big time. Fuck Harrington. Good luck, Brian.
Well, Dallas Singer coming in hot there.
That was a little self-serving, sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. But let's get Harrington and Brian on the screen at the same time, just like we did with the BYM press conference on Monday with Cheeto and his opponent, Davey Grant. And thank you very much. Brian, show yourself. I mean, far be it from us to answer the questions. Oh. I'll just give my initial input.
Please.
Harrington's been training.
I get
Harrington's
it,
Harrington's brimming with confidence. Harrington's lost weight. And he's coming in hot with a vengeance. Brian, I hate to tell you, while you have the physical attributes to win this fight, you're much taller, you're leaner, you have a taekwondo background. You even said yourself, you have not left the house in quite some time. You're very pasty.
Oh, it's fine.
I don't know if you've been running or working out. I feel like I might be leaning towards Harrington.
Can I chime in here with a little bit of an X factor? Harrington just sprained his ankle a few days ago. So he's in a boot. So the fact that Harrington only has one foot, it makes me lean a little bit toward Brian in this one. Because you're right about that. Harrington, look, not for nothing, Brian, being able to go and box for three rounds, it's a lot if you're not doing it regularly. And Harrington is regularly boxing. But he only has one foot.
Anyway,
hold on.
I have a heavy bag hung up that I've been beating up for the past few months anyway. So
okay.
Harrington,
put my hands up forever.
Harrington, how are you feeling for this showdown?
I feel like I can't walk, Mike. I feel terrible. Like this is.
Are you pussying out?
Are you pulling out of the fight?
He's pulling a Tony Ferguson.
Wow.
Oh my God, he's a pullout merchant.
Lewis, you saw me yesterday. I can't.
Pullout merchant was my nickname in college.
Hey.
you're a letdown. All right. Well, that's a one to nothing for Brian. I think Brian wins.
I think we're going to have to put Diego in against Brian instead.
Oh, please don't do that.
Do that. I want to see that. No offense. Brian, give us the next question, buddy.
Oh, sorry. One second, guys. No I problem. Got a question here from Kiki.
Hey, Mike, Lewis, Harrington, and Brian. This is Kiki, and I have a question. So I just listened to the Grant and Cheeto Vera press conference. I liked it. It was a good idea. Who would you guys like to have next as press conference guest? Or who would have been someone that you would have loved to have that's maybe retired as a press conference guest? Thanks, guys. Can't wait for the merch. Bye.
Thank you, Kiki. What a nice message.
I like Kiki.
Very, very well delivered. Thanks, Kiki. Hope you're well. And thanks for listening and being a loyal follower of the show. I don't know. Who would we like to have on? I mean, come on. Any one of the big fights that are coming up would be amazing. Ngannou versus Stipe. I mean, Conor McGregor versus anybody would be awesome. I'd like to get Colby versus Kamaru Usman. That'd be good.
Yeah, I mean, who'd be really good with us on a press conference as well? Not just a normal press conference, because Conor wouldn't be good with us. Conor would take over. There would be a weird dynamic there.
That's what I want. That's what I wanted to happen the other day, that then just started going at each other and talking shit, and we just sit back and watch the fun. Unfortunately for us, but fortunately for him, Davey Grant is just a sweetheart of a man. He's a vicious fighter in the octagon, but he's one of the nicest guys. And then Cheeto, you know, if you talk shit to Cheeto, you're going to get shit back. But he just kind of like went off the energy of Davey, and it was a nice thing.
Yeah. Cheeto, you can tell if you fuck with Cheeto, he's a dangerous man to fuck with.
Oh, 100%. No doubt.
Besides Davey Grant, probably, to be honest with you. Davey Grant's probably more dangerous to fuck with, because Davey Grant is just coming at you with a smile.
His nickname is Dangerous Davey Grant, okay? He's very dangerous. So there you go. But thank you, Kiki. We appreciate the question. All right, well, listen, we've been going for a little bit. I do hate to say this. I'm going to have to cut this one short, so you feel free to give me shit, Lewis. But you guys are coming in this weekend. We're going to get tons of bonus content next week. We're going to have
podcast in person next week. We're going to launch the Timmy Fit competition, so make sure to download that app. Go to bymmerch.com and put some money in our pockets, please, because we're going broke. Lewis needs to pay for a new car. We're going to be in Vegas. We're going to tell you all about it on Monday. But until then, take care.